It is very important that you listen to the first 10 minutes of what I'm going to say tonight, because it lays the foundation for all the rest. One of the main causes for unhappiness in the world is something on which I touched this morning: unfulfilled appetites. Allowing ourselves to have appetites that our means will not allow us to fulfill. Are you listening? This is the cause of most financial problems. You see, most of us could live on what we make if our appetites were determined by our ability of fulfillment. Did you follow what I said? You see, basically, now hear me carefully, basically, sin is doing good in excess. The Bible says, let your moderation be made known to all men. The Bible says that one part of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. Now what does that mean? That means that you ought to decide what you like on the basis of what you can get. That's what it means. I have no desire for a 5-carat diamond ring. None whatsoever. Or 1/5-carat diamond ring. None whatsoever. None. Why? I will not allow myself to be hunger for anything I cannot supply or cannot be supplied. When your appetites go outside the boundaries of your ability to fulfill, then you have all kinds of problems in every area of your life. The wise person, therefore, will let his capacity for fulfillment determine the limit of his appetites. Now, nobody should develop appetites that are wrong to fill. Let me illustrate. I have in my hands one of the books by Barbara Cartland. And nobody ought to read this kind of garbage at all. You high schoolers that are reading this, what's wrong with it? In the first place, there's a heap wrong with it. But in the second place, if there's something better than this, if you have any sense, you'll use good priorities. And these books are not supposed to, ought not be read by God's people. Here's one called The Gall of the Heart, for example. I just want to read you. I've only read about a half a page. I want to read it to you. I want to show you what I mean. This is what some of you parents are letting your children read or not letting them read. You don't care enough to check what they read. And here it is. Lord Rothwin smiled. You need not be afraid of that. I need you as I have never needed another woman. He saw the question in Lalitha's eyes, went on. Women have always wanted something from me in one way or another. While I have been prepared to give them what they demanded, I always felt something was missing. The other night when I was with you in the woodcutters, I realized what it was. What was it? Lalitha asked. It was the protection that a woman gives a man when she loves him fully and completely, as I believe you love me. His voice spoke was very tender. As he went on, I get this. When I woke to find your arms around, sound like they've been asleep. When I woke to find your arms around me and my head on your breast. Oh, by the way, this book was taken from a college dorm room. One of our females. And I'll guarantee you, that several hundred of our high school folks and junior hires are reading this garbage right now. Guarantee you. That's because your parents don't give a hoot. You don't want to cause any trouble. You want to win them. You're trying to win your children like a suitor wins the hand of a lover. You're in competition to see if you can make them like you. Listen. Do you remember that mean teacher you had in school? That's the one you like now. Do you remember that one that you liked then didn't make you do any homework? had true or false tests and you read each other's papers? Remember that lazy bum? Remember how much you liked him or liked her? Huh? You hate her insides now, don't you? Listen to me. When I woke to find your arms round me and my head on your breast, I knew that what I had never had from woman before was the feeling of being circled with love, that she wanted to keep me safe, although from what I was not quite certain. Now, that's the kind of stuff you've been reading. That's the kind of garbage and filth and rot some of you teenagers are reading. And that's the kind of filth and garbage. Listen, here's what it's going to do. It's going to create appetites in you that you can't fill unless you do wrong. And for you to create an appetite in your body or in your life that is wrong to fill is going to wreck your life someday. That's why you shouldn't read stuff like this. Listen, you say, well, how? Doesn't create any appetite in me read stuff like that. Then you need a medical checkup quickly. See? Because that's sort of crude preaching. That's sort of crude reading, too. You see? Now, what I'm saying is, you're not going to be happy if you keep on having appetites created in you that are wrong to fill. You're not going to do it. What you're going to have to do is realize that you have got to limit your appetites to your ability to have them fulfilled within the bounds of right and decency, and not getting outside the boundaries of right into the area of wrong in order to have your appetites filled. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm guarantee you that if some of you don't listen, you're going to wreck your life. Every illegitimate child that's born is born because somebody got appetites, got hungry for something that was wrong to fulfill. Every venereal disease, case of venereal disease, is caused because somebody let their appetites get out from the outside the boundaries of what was right to do. Young people, you're not going to read. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're the pastor of this church or on the staff or the principal of the high school or the president of the college. You're not going to read stuff like that without having appetites created in you that are wrong. I want to read the name again. Barbara Cartland. Barbara Cartland. I want to make it very plain. One of the most popular authors in our day. And by the way, the reason you teenagers are reading it, because a lot of you moms are reading it too. You say, well, I'll get mad and I'll go somewhere else. Well, you find some place where the preacher wears lace on his underwear, and you go there. But you're going to get the truth while you're here. And the honest, simple truth is, you're foolish. You're absolutely foolish to allow your appetites to run wild when you've got to go outside the bounds of decency, let those appetites be fulfilled. Now, that goes for sensuous movies. That goes for Love Boat. That goes for Texas, that goes for the soap operas, that goes for everything that creates appetites in somebody that cannot be fulfilled within the bounds of what is right and proper. Now let's go on to the next thought. No appetites should be created or developed that you cannot have filled. In other words, the appetite should be within the bounds of your financial responsibility, your financial position. You should not. Many of you young ladies have far too expensive appetites, and the salary that you and your husband make together cannot satisfy your appetites. And that's why that I would not advise any young couple to have a credit card. No way I'd advise you have a credit card. No way, because you can create appetites that you cannot fill. I got news for you. But what you're buying on those credit cards is going to be paid for someday, or you're going to be in trouble, and your life is going to be ruined and wrecked. Now, this other thought that leads us to our sermon tonight, and that is this. No appetites should be developed that need permanent fulfillment. It is about this last one I want to speak tonight. God teaches us that daily living is the secret to success. day-by-day living. In what we call, I think erroneously, the Lord's Prayer, we are admonished to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It does not say, give us this decade our daily bread. You know, the lives in this country, they're going to be wrecked and ruined completely in a few years. This young football player from Brigham Young University that signed a $40 million contract with the Los Angeles Express professional football team is going to have a miserable life, I guarantee you. Why? He'll never know the joy of saying, give me this day my daily bread. Now, there are four things which I want to call your attention to that, that you ought to seek daily. First is daily guidance. Daily guidance. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Now hold it. It does not say that the life of a good man. It says the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Psalm 119:133 says, order my steps in thy word. The psalmist said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and then it is a light unto my path. But first, it is a lamp unto my feet. The most important step you ever take is the next one. Most important day you'll ever live is today. The psalmist said, order my steps according to thy word. Years ago, I used this illustration, but it's so apropos here. I love sports. And I think the purest sport in the world is baseball. I think it's not my favorite sport, but it's the purest sport. Nobody blocks for you while you hit. You haven't got anybody that's defending you while you do your work. Now, but I think life is pictured better by football. Follow me carefully. There is in football a goal, a major goal. What is that major goal in a football game? To do what? To win the game. That's right, to win the game. That's what you go out for. You don't go out there and say, ox skin, pig skin, any kind of leather, we're going to have a good time, it doesn't matter whether. You don't do that. You don't go out because you love the game. And anybody that says it doesn't matter whether you win or lose, how you play the game, that's not true. If you don't go out to win, stay home. You say, Brother Hiles, now I believe in being a good loser. Good. Then when you play me, we can both get satisfied then. Now, if you win a football game, you've got to score some what? Some touchdowns. That's right. You've got to score some touchdowns. The idea is to win the game. But you're not going to win the game unless you score some points. And most of those points are scored by touchdown. Now, but that isn't it. All of it. In order to score touchdowns, the team that usually wins wins the game scores the most touchdowns. And the team that usually scores the most touchdowns makes the most what? First down. Set what? All right. What's the purpose to win the what? Game. Win the game, you got to score some what? Score some touchdowns, you got to score some what? First down. Now, but listen, you check with any football coach, you check with Tom Landry, Don Shula, any the great coaches, and they'll tell you that the most important way to win a football game is by ball control. Ball control. If you got the ball, the other team can't score. Well, unless you're the Bears. But if you got the ball and you control that ball, the other team can't score. Now, see, every once in a while, you'll get a fellow like Bobby Douglas. We used to have Bobby Douglas on he can throw the ball here to Waxahachie. I mean, of course, nobody's there where he throws it, but he can throw it a long way. And Bobby Douglas was the best quarterback in the football if you're talking about distance. But Bobby Douglas had problems hitting the other end of the stands. But now, I'm saying that if you try to make a touchdown on every play, you won't win the game. No way. No way. By the way, if you try to make a touchdown in life on every play, you won't win the game either. You see, the way you win the game, you say, I've got a first down means you've got four plays to make 10 yards. All right? Then what you going to do? Okay, suppose you try first play, make 5 yards. No touchdown, no points, 5 yards. Second place, second down, 4 yards. That means you made 9. Now, third down, 1 yard to go. Now, the thing to do is try to make that next 1 yard. Make a first down. What does that mean? That means you make a first down, you get 4 fresh downs, 4 more downs, make another first down, and then you make 10 yards. And listen, no team will ever win consistently if the team tries to score a touchdown on every play. That's what you call, for example, a fullback hits the line. What's he trying to do? Make a first down. All right, now life is that way. We have students in Howells Anderson College, for example, that they hit the college, and the next week they want an appointment with me to see if you ought to be an evangelist, a missionary, or a principal, or a president of the United States. Which is it? And doesn't matter. Now, you don't need to worry about what you're going to be when you get out of college, when you first get in college. What you need to do is you need to enroll. And then day by day, you study. You don't have to make a touchdown. listen, you do your best every day in life, and you'll win. But you must not hurry it. No way. You see, you need daily guidance. This is the most important moment of my life now. I look only at it. This is the most important sermon I'll ever preach in my life. I preach in great conventions to thousands of people. But this sermon right now is the most important sermon I'll ever preach. And I'll be honest with you. I may not always preach good sermons. I'll guarantee you one thing, brother. I do my best every time. I sort of like the fellow and his wife were getting a divorce. And she said, and just to think, I gave you the best years of my life. He said, good night, were those the best? Now, the truth is, I know what you're saying. Is that the best you can do? It may not be very good, but it's the best I can do. You see why? Because this is the most important day of my life. And this is the most important sermon of my life. And this is the most important task of my life. Listen, don't you let yourself get hungry to get... That's why we have young men. And this is not a college sermon, but we have young men come to Howells Anderson College, and they go for a couple of years and think now they're ready to go out and win the world. They're the next Billy Sunday, Dwight, Moody, R.A., Torrey, all combined in one. One fellow came to my office after 2 years, Howells Anderson College. Married man. And he said, I'm ready to go. I said, what for? He said, I'm ready to go. Ready to go. They'd build a great work. I said, well, won't you finish college first? Don't need to finish it. The world's going to hell. The world's still be going to hell when you get out of college. And got to get out. So what did he do? He went to a large city in America. He hired Anita Bryant back in the days when she was speaking a lot. Hired Anita Bryant and paid her, I think, $7,000 to come to his church. Started a church with a goal of 5,000 the first Sunday. Now, you say, did he have it? I don't know. Maybe he did. But the problem with having 5,000 the first Sunday in your church is that there is going to be a second Sunday. And you can't afford $7,000 to hire some big-name person to come in. Now, you give me the fella who starts off at 20 and makes a first down. See? And then he has 25 and makes a first down. And then he has 50 and makes a first down. And lays a good foundation and brick on brick. You see, that fella is going to build a great church. I shocked our college students one day, our young men, when I said, let me show you how churches grow. I said, give me one of the great churches in America. And somebody said, Dr. Bob Gray, Jacksonville, Florida, Trinity Baptist Church. One of the great churches in America. And he's right. I said, okay. At that time, Dr. Gray had been at that church 25 years. And they're running about 3,000 in Sunday school. They had grown about 2,500 people in 25 years. And that's phenomenal. Not that many churches in the world do that. Okay. That's 2,500 people in 25 years. That's 100 a year. That's about 1.8 or 1.9 per Sunday. And that's the fast growth. But I can tell you churches all over this nation who start Dawson. Okay, we'll have 500 right away. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You get you a crowd, a small crowd, and you build it. And first place, You've got to get those people ready for the crowd to come. You've got to get those people ready to absorb that. Why don't churches start 5 bus routes first Sunday of Sunday school? Listen, you've got to get folks ready to take bus routes. You just can't have them start of all. And I know preachers start a church, they'll start a bus route and a high school and a grade school and a fight all the same Sunday, the first Sunday. Now look, folks, life is not that way. Life is based on reality. The reality is that the first step, order my steps. The psalmist didn't say, order my path according to thy word. He didn't say, order my life according to thy word. He didn't say, order my year according to thy word. He said, order my step. When I was a paratrooper in the Civil War, we ran 10 miles. First day, 1 mile without stopping with combat boots on and counting kids. Up, up, beep, four, up. And now I still run. I can jog three laps around that desk in my office now. Last week only 2. I've gained. But anyway, we used to run. I don't mean jog. We ran and counted cadence as it went. Second day 2 miles. Third day 3 miles. Fourth day 4 miles. Fifth day 5 miles. Sixth day 6 miles. Seventh day 7 miles. Eighth day 8 miles. Ninth day 9 miles. Tenth day 10 miles. And every other day after that, while I was in the paratroopers, we had to run 10 miles. I don't mean trot. I don't mean jog. I mean run. Hup, hup, hey, hup, hup, hup. And count cadence must the way with combat boots. And it wasn't around a track either. It was out in the country up and down hills. Now then, listen. Many a day I've been out running. And I'd say, I don't think I can run 10 miles. But I can run one more step. And I took that step. And I said, I don't think I can make it up that hill. But I do believe I can make one more step. And then I said, okay, we got 8 miles to go. We run 10 miles. 8 miles, no way I can run 8 miles. But I can run one more step. That's what the psalmist meant when he said, order my steps according to thy word. Every day is a new walk with God. Don't let yourself get hungry for tomorrow's guidance. Today's guidance is all you need. As long as you know what the will of God is for you right now, and as long as you do it, that's all you have to know. Today, strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. That little pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night that led the Israelites across the wilderness, they never knew when it was going to turn. Never did. They didn't know when it was going to stop. Never knew. They just knew, there it is now, and I'm to follow that pillar of cloud by day and that pillar of fire by night. Now listen, dear friends, don't you ever get hung up on the long reins. You take the short reins. The old illustration I've used for years, and it's not new to any of you probably. But a fellow needed a fence built around his farm. The fence was 10 miles long. He hired somebody and said, the fellow said, what's my job? He said, are you listening? He said, I want you to build a fence around the property. He said, how long? He said, 10 miles. Fellow worked one day. He said, good night. I got 9.99 miles left. He quit. Next fellow, I hired another fellow. He said, what's my job? He said, I want you to work 3 years building a fence around my farm. He worked one day and said, I got 2 years and 364 days left, and he quit. Next fellow, he said, what's my job? He said, I want you to dig a hole right here and put a picket in it. And I said, when you get that one done, dig another hole and put a picket in that one. And he said, when I tell you to quit, you quit. And he built the fence. We got too many folks looking like that instead of looking like that. We got too many folks looking out toward the horizon instead of looking right down to the day. Listen, the answer is this. What can I, whom can I feed today? Whom can I win today? Whom can I help today? What can I do today? Now is the accepted time. Today is the day, the Bible says. Order thou my steps according to thy word. Number two, not only daily guidance, but daily strength. Daily strength. In the Bible, we find that we're supposed strength for today. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Sing it. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Sing it. Strength for today is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do... Now, it doesn't say, strength for the way is mine today. It says, strength for today is mine all the way. So what I need is not strength for the way today. I need strength for today, and that'll lead me all the way. You see? So, I need daily guidance. I also need daily strength. Down in Texas, a little lady got cancer. She was a widow. She had a little boy she was trying to rear. Boy was just a little tyke. I'm guessing 4 years old. This lady got cancer. That's a true story. She went to God and she said, God, my boy needs me today. Now she said, she didn't say, dear God, help me to rear my boy. She didn't say that. She said, dear God, I've got to have strength today for my boy. So she said, dear God, what she said was, I'm not going to die today. Now she, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to die today. I'm going to live today. I'm not going to die today. And the next day she got up and she said, now Lord, I'm not going to die today either. I'm not going to do it. You're not going to talk me into it. I'm not going to do it. And she said, my boy needs me today. She said, I'm not going to die today. Next day she got up and she said, God, I'm not going to die today either. Oh, by the way, she's still living. That's been many years ago. Why? Because she said, Lord, I'm going to live today. My boy needs me today. Now. Today. Oh, far too many of us want tomorrow's strength. No. Listen, you're going to miss something. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to get strength every day. I'm so grateful to my God. He doesn't give me strength right now to last me all the lifetime. I'd miss the fun of asking God for strength every day and getting strength every day. I'll be honest with you. My load is heavier now than it's ever been in my life. I sometimes, when I go to bed at night, after preaching, especially somewhere, I go to my room, and sometimes on the way home to back to my room, and I hope motel somewhere hotel, I'll say this prayer. I'll say, dear God, I just am so tired. I do not see how I could ever preach that hard again. I don't think I have another one like that left. Except when the next one comes, I say, God, help me to preach this one as best I can. Folks, you forget one of our finest men last night, one of the dearest friends in this church, asked me this question. He said, Brother Howell, I'm employed here, and I love it and I love you. But he said, I often wonder what's going to happen to me if you die. You're older than I am. If you die before I do, often wonder what's going to happen to me. And I said to him, I'll bet you a quarter that God won't die when I die. And he said, I sort of thought he would. But he won't. He won't. But you say, Brother Hiles, what will I do? I work here at the church and you're sort of the hub of everything. What if I'm taken? What if you're taken? No, let's get there. What if you're taken? I don't know if you'd be taken than me. But what if you're taken, preacher? My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. See? Amazing. Dr. Rice is gone, and God is still getting along very well. Brother Olaf is gone. Now, God got weak for a while, but he's pulled back out of it. I love Brother Olaf, one of the dearest friends ever had. I love Brother John Rice. I love John Rice, I guess, more than I ever loved any man. And I loved him. deeply. But look, my God is not dead. Dr. John Rice is buried in the grave at Bill Rice Ranch, but God is not dead, and God will not die. And I stood over the casket that contained the emaciated body of my dear brother Lester Roloff, killed in a plane crash. But God was not there. God was just as alive at that funeral service as was before. One step at a time. Order my steps. Daily strength. Number three. Daily provisions. Now listen to me. You don't need tomorrow's food today. I'm so thankful I've never been wealthy. I'm so thankful that all of my life I've had to pray for today's food. In the life of Israel, as they journeyed from the land of Egypt, the land of promise, God sent the manna from heaven. Every morning, manna fell. Now, if anybody gathered for 2 days, the manna spoiled. God said, get today's manna. Well, how about tomorrow? Wait till tomorrow and get tomorrow's manna. I feel sorry if you people haven't got to pray. I feel sorry for you folks that never have, like my mother did. I've seen my mother again and again sit down at an empty table when I was a little boy living in the ghetto. I've seen my mother sit down and the table was empty and the plate was there and there was no food in it and the bowl was there. There was no food in it. And I've heard my mother say, dear God, thank you for the food we're about to eat. And I looked all over that place. I couldn't find the food she's talking about. I couldn't count the time. On my fingers and toes that I've seen my mother, heard my mother thank God for the food. When there's no food there, and before it was time, before we got the napkin put up, napkin, nothing, the newspaper in our lap, before we got ready to eat, somebody knocked on the door. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. You go a step at a time, one step at a time, not a touchdown. Don't worry about the gain. You make the first down, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and you'll win the game. Order thou my steps, not my path, not my day, not my month, not my year, not my life. Order thou my steps according to thy will. I'll be honest with you. There are some times when I wish, before I die, I could have 1 year in the pastorate without having to fret, pray down money. I'd like to get about $10 million in the bank. So you asked the men that escort me over here. But the last thing I did before I walked in this room tonight? Last thing? Where are some of my men? Dick, where are you? He's probably outside. Protect. Okay. I leave my office. I don't walk straight over here. I go to the outer office where the men have counted the money and look at the money sheet and see if we met the budget or not. Always do. Fellow say, where are you going, preacher? I said, I'm going to see if I'm happy or not. Always do. Before I ever walk inside, that's why you see me smiling sometimes and crying sometimes. I walk through. Sometimes I wish I wouldn't have to do that for a while. I sometimes wish I could just live one Sunday and say, phooey, I don't care what the offering was. We got plenty of money. But we don't. But you know, I'd miss it. I'd miss getting out in the woods and saying, dear God, we've got to have this. I'd miss getting on my face and saying, oh, God, take care of our needs. Daily provisions. I remember, this is an old, old story. It happened years ago when I first became, first few years I was here. Had a secretary named Sandy Plopper. I called Sandy in one day and I said, Sandy, we've got to have $5,000. We've got to have it. We've got to have it by Friday afternoon at 4:30. If we don't, we're going to go under. Back in those days, $5,000 was life or death stuff. These days, $500 is life or death stuff. But I said, Sandy, we've got to have it. It's just, we've got to have it. So she joined me in prayer and I prayed. And we prayed for $5,000. By Friday afternoon at 4:30. Had to have it. Didn't come on Monday. Didn't come on Tuesday. Didn't come on Wednesday. Thursday. Didn't have it on Friday. Friday at noon, didn't have it. I can still see Sandy in her office grumbling to God. She says, that's not fair. Dear God, Brother Howells gives you his time. He gives you all he's got. And all he asks you for is $5,000, and you own all that stuff you got and all that. You won't even give him $5,000. That's not fair. It's just not fair. I can still see her griping to God. I said, what were you doing? I was in the office saying, God, that's not fair. I give you all I got, and I'm just not fair. 4:15, I said, Sandy, has anybody called with the $5,000? He said, no, sir, it's not right. It's not right. 4:25. She called and she said, the guy wants to see you. I said, who is it? She said, he's a bum. I said, what church is your deacon in? And what bass section does he sing in? I went out in the hallway, 4:25. I was praying for $5,000. Here this old guy was. I said, sir, I can't see you. I'm it's one of the most important 5 minutes of my life. I can't do it. He's an old, old man and shabbily dressed. He said, okay, that's all right. I went back in and I said, fooey. In 5 minutes, I can't get $5,000. Fooey on it, I'll forget the whole thing. Come on in, fella, come on in. I almost stuck my tongue out at God. Sandy was in there griping at God. Not fair. Now, 4 minutes to 4:30 and Brother Howells haven't got it. This old man came in. I said, what can I do for you? How much do you need? He said, I live in Joliet. He said, my wife just died. I'm lonesome. I just wanted a man of God to pray for me and talk to me. I talked to him about 2 minutes, prayed for him about 1 minute, and I said, good day. 4:29, just about. He left. And I was mad at God. I almost wanted to start preaching out of the Revised Standard Version. I closed the door. Somebody knocked on the door. It was the old man. He said, oh, by the way. He said, they just collected their insurance. He said, I want to leave this $5,000 check with you. I spent the rest of the week going around the street trying to find old men. You know, I feel sorry for you people who don't have to do that. I really do. I mean, listen, if God said to me, like these athletes say, lifetime security. Brother, the bank that money's in, I saw them go under back yonder in World War II. I'm sorry, the Depression. And the bank can go under. There's no such thing. The only security you've got is today. God promises you provisions for today. Daily guidance, daily strength, daily provisions. Number four, daily victory. Daily victory. Not weekly victory, daily victory. Fellow comes down the aisle. Preacher, I'm laying my tobacco on the altar, and that'd be a good thing for anybody to do. I'm laying my beer, wine, whiskey on your altar. Everybody's got any sense would do that. Anybody knows it's not good for you. Listen. He says, I'll never take another drink or smoke another cigarette as long as I live. But he will. Because he went at it wrong. Another fellow walks down the aisle and says, preacher, I'm an addict. And I don't know whether I'm an alcoholic or not, but I've been drinking for years. Preacher, how can I make it? I just thought of an illustration I got to tell you. And I haven't used this in 20 years, I guess. 30 years ago, I was preaching in Natchez, Mississippi. You're going to like this. I was preaching in Natchez, Mississippi. And down the aisle, invitation came a middle... No, she is about... What is middle age? Anyway, she's about 60 years old. Very young lady. She was a wretch. I mean, she was a dirty wretch. She said, I want to get saved. She couldn't, her eyes were crossed and bleary. She wobbled down the aisle. She couldn't stay in between the pews. And I shook my head. And I said, Lord, I don't believe the lady's sane enough to understand. I said, ma'am, when you sober up, I'll talk to you. I don't want to get saved when I sober up. I want to get saved now. And I said, ma'am, I don't think you're going to stand. She said, try me. We knelt and prayed. You know what I did? That night, I lined up one person. I got 30 people. And those 30 people were to go one day apiece a month by our house in the morning. First fellow was to go by in the morning early and read the scripture with her and pray for God to give her the victory that day over liquor. Next day, first thing in the morning, 6 o'clock. That's why we couldn't have any deacons go by. Too early. But 6 o'clock. Next day, another person went by. Read the scripture to her. 30 minutes. Prayed. God give her the victory today. I got 30 people lined up to give one morning a month to go by and see that lady. Years passed. I went back to Natchez, Mississippi. A very refined lady. Upper middle years. Walked up to me and she said, Dr. Howells, welcome back. Boy, she was somebody. Looked like she was Lady Astor. And I said, she said, glad to see you again. I said, I never saw you before. She said, oh, yes, you did. I said, ma'am, I never saw you. Cultured, refined, lovely, dignified, charming lady. I said, who are you? She said, I'm a school teacher here in town. I said, I don't know you. She said, let me give you a hint. She took her hair and messed it up, just like that. Messed it up. Got her coat like that. And she said, I want to get saved now. And I said, are you? She said, I am. I am. That was that lady. See, one day at a time. One day of victory at a time. One day of provision at a time. One day of strength at a time. One day of guidance at a time. I'm talking to folks tonight, you're looking too far down the road. How about today? The guy that gets the job done out yonder, some of you young preachers, you're not going to someday be a great preacher. You'll be a great worker for God now. You will be what you are. You're not going to change. You don't serve God now. You won't someday be a great soul winner. You'll be later what you are now. You're setting your practice for a life. And so today, not out on the future today, the first down. That's what you need to make, the first down. A lot of you are going to be something someday. No, you're not. You're trying to make a touchdown. You won't do that. You make a first down. There are others of you that are worried to death about strength tomorrow. You're tired. Weary. Life is filled with burdens for you. And you say, I don't believe I can live till I'm 50. My 55th birthday. Was it 55th? I think it was. I got a note from a little girl. Put it on my door. She said, Dear Brother Hines, I love you so much. I hope you live to be 50. Now to her, that was infinity. That was eternal. 50. I don't think I can make it to 50. You don't have to make it to your 50. Just make it to sundown. That's all you got to do. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. See, if I follow, I don't have to chart the course. If I follow, I haven't got to figure out where to go. He figures out where to go, and I follow. Follow one step at a time. Trying to walk in the steps of the Savior. Not the paths of the Savior, the steps of the Savior. Preacher, how can I make it? How can I make it? What does my future hold? You haven't got to worry about your future. Just strength for today. For today. The next step in the jog, in the run. Not 10 miles, the next step. Look, I saw big, strong, husky men. When I was a paratrooper, I weighed 135 pounds and was the height I am right now. Today, I weigh more than 135 pounds. But I saw All-American football players fall out on the run. You know why? They're asking for more than one step at a time. One step at a time. I said, Lord, I don't believe I can make it 10. By the way, I never fell out. All the months and years I was a paratrooper, never one time failed to complete. Now, one time, the first mile I ever ran, I had 103 fever. Had the flu. I fainted 100 feet from the finish line. And woke up, I was lying face down in my vomit with a sergeant kicking me in the ribs saying, Soldier, we quit running this outfit, we crawl. And I got on my knees and hands, vomiting all the way, crawling through my own vomit, and crawled to the finish line. But I made the finish line. Why? One step at a time. One step at a time. I'm talking to somebody else. One of our young men went off to college one time. He said, Pastor, I don't believe I can make it. I said, why? He said, oh, I only have $7,000 saved. We call those tycoons around here. Only have $7,000 saved. If anybody comes here with $7,000, we send them to Bob Jones. $7,000. You don't need $7,000. You just need strength for today. Provisions for today. Many a little girl in Hiles Anderson College, in those little telephone booths out there they share with five others, has gotten on her knees beside her bed every night and every morning and said, Dear God, don't make me go home. Don't make me go home. I want to stay and finish. Today, provisions for today, and victory. I'm talking to somebody that's lost the victory because you didn't beg. Paul said, I buffet my body every day. Every day, I buffet my body. And you found the secret. Don't let your appetites, hear me now, don't let your appetites be for tomorrow's bread, but for today's bread. Don't let your appetites seek tomorrow's guidance, but today's guidance. Don't let your appetite be for tomorrow's strength, but today's strength. Don't let your appetite be for tomorrow's victories, but for today's victories. Our Lord knows the way through the wilderness. Sing it. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is strength for today. That's all. Strength for today. It's mine all the way. All I need for tomorrow. Need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Some of you tonight ought to say, I'm going to come back to day by day Christian living. I'm going to seek today's guidance. I'm going to seek today's strength. I'm going to seek today's provisions. And I'm going to seek today's victory. Old illustration. And with it I close. Many years ago when I was in my 20s, Brother Joe Boyd was an evangelist, big All-American football player, just turned evangelist. Now, I was a little preacher out in the country. To be quite frank with you, he was one of my heroes. And Joe Boyd said to me in the first little church I ever pastored that was full-time, he said, Brother Jack, you're a young preacher. And he said, I believe that God can use you greatly if you'll stay in His will. And then he said, you know how you can be sure to be in the will of God 10 years from now? And I said, how? He said, be sure you're in the will of God today. Our Heavenly Father,